you very much, Sharana. So you should have the notes in for the second talk on your in your booklets. Now, I grew up in a first-generation Christian home. So my parents weren't brought up in Christian homes. They became Christians, though, in their late teens and early 20s, in the late 1940s, early 1950s. At the time, there were loads of things that Christians didn't do. My dad says Christians didn't go to the cinema, they didn't dance, and they didn't wear makeup. Sundays was a day of rest. No work at all, no sport, no shopping. Well, you couldn't, the shops weren't open. No homework. It was a special day where you went to church wearing your Sunday best, which was either a suit and a tie or a dress. Now, 60 plus years later, we don't bat an eyelid. As we go to see films, we download them 24/7. It would never occur to us that Christian women couldn't wear makeup or go to a dance and have a really good dance at a party. And as for Sundays, as a day of rest, you're having a laugh, aren't you? Haven't things changed? Many of us work on Sundays, shops are open all day. Sundays has become a catch-up day, doing the housework, finishing homework, getting ready for Monday morning. It's a day for sport. Oh, and church, if I have the time. I turn up late and normally in jeans and a top or whatever happens to be clean. That is the reality. But is there still a nagging doubt in our minds? What about a day of rest? What about the command in the Bible that we are to have a day off? To work 6 days and not seven. Is that something we should follow or not? It's something that Christians disagree about. So I am aware that I am slightly treading on dangerous ground, but I wanted to see what the Bible says and then to work it out from there. See, some people will say you must not do certain things on a Sunday. Others will say you can do whatever you like on a Sunday. It's just like any other day. But what does the Bible actually say, and what does it mean for us? And how does it relate to rest? Well, the Ten Commandments. Back in Exodus, the Lord redeemed his people through the death of a lamb. He rescued them from their slavery in Egypt, and he made them his treasured possession. They were to now be his people. He was taking them to his land, his special place. And on the way, he gave them the Ten Commandments. They're in Exodus, and they are repeated in Deuteronomy. One of the commandments is this, and this is Exodus chapter 20. I'll read it from the sheet. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The Lord commanded here that his rescued people would work 6 days and the seventh day would be a Sabbath, a day of rest. Now it's pretty clear, and as all the Lord's commandments are good commands, this too is a good command of our loving God. But to understand it, we need to look at why does he say we are to rest on one day? Well, he says, if you look at it here in Exodus, he says, we rest because the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. In 6 days, he made it, and when he'd completed his work, he rested. The Lord then gives this day as a day not to work and to remember God's purpose. This is a day to remember God's purpose in creation. to create a that he was going to create a place and a people who will live for him. He was going to create people who would know his rest. But if you look at Deuteronomy, we're given a different reason. So in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses says, this is what the Lord has said. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest, as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Verse 15 says, they were to remember that they were slaves. Remember that they have been rescued, that they have been redeemed. The Sabbath rest is to remember that they are saved people, brought to God through the death of the Lamb, so that they would be his treasured possession. As God's people back then, they kept a Sabbath. They were remembering that they were created for rest, created to be God's people in his place, in the presence of God, and to remember that they had been redeemed and rescued by the Lord to be his treasured possession. Now, those two things are true of all of us. We have been created for rest, to be God's people in God's presence. And we have been redeemed through the death of another lamb, the Lord Jesus, to be his treasured possession. As we come to him, we find rest for our souls. A day of rest is to remind us of these great truths. Our purpose is in Christ. Our purpose is not in our work, whether that be paid employment or in retirement, whether that be as a mum and a homemaker or as a volunteer. A day of rest is a reminder that I am not the one the world revolves around, but the Almighty Sovereign Lord and Saviour. You see, work is wearisome. If I think that my fulfilment and purpose is in my work, it will be a burden. It will make me feel heavy laden. A day of rest reminds me it is not my fulfilment and purpose. A day of rest reminds me that by his amazing grace, I have purpose in Christ and for Christ. The Lord Jesus himself said this in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. This is after Jesus has healed someone on the Sabbath, and there's lots going on, and the Pharisees are getting their complete knickers in a twist about what he's doing. And Jesus says these words: "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Jesus is the one the Sabbath rest was pointing to. He is the one who fulfills the promise of rest. Sabbath rest was fulfilled in Jesus, because in him is the fullness of the Godhead. In him, he is the very presence of God. So Sabbath rest is fulfilled in him. In Christ, we are no longer banished from God's presence, but we're brought into his very family. We find rest in him and not in keeping of a special day. Now, you may say, have I contradicted myself? Well, before we throw the baby out with the bathwater and says it's too confusing, look at what Jesus says. He says, yes, he is the one that fulfills the Sabbath. He is the one who is Lord of the Sabbath. But he also says, man is not made for the Sabbath. Human beings do not serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a rule to be kept legalistically like the Pharisees did. They put in place hundreds of extra rules, extra Sabbath rules, to make sure that no one did any work on the Sabbath. So you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, you couldn't do that. They created rules upon rules about what was and what was not work on the Sabbath. People had to serve the Sabbath. That's what the Pharisees were expecting. No, Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath is to serve people. In other words, the Sabbath, a day of rest, is good for humans. It is a benefit for us, not to rule us and oppress us, but to help us to remember the glorious Sabbath rest we have in Christ. The day of rest is not about rules and regulations. It's not about what you can or cannot do. It's about Jesus. It's remembering the one who died to bring us into the very presence of God so that we could be his treasured possession, his people who dwell with him. So at this point, can I say that if you are one of those people who tend to be at the legalistic end of Sabbath observance, please be careful. Don't be ruled by the Sabbath or criticise those who don't keep it like you do. It's not to rule you. It's for your benefit. It's to help you remember and enjoy your rest in Jesus. If, on the other hand, you tend to bin the whole thing about Sabbath rest and see every day the same, then also be careful. You will quickly become like Martha and tend towards overwork. You will focus on what you do and achieve, on satisfying yourself, and you may fail to remember that you too were created for rest and saved for rest. The Sabbath is for our benefit. It is for our good. It is to help us to remember the rest we have in Christ. And that means, I think, I've come to this conclusion, I haven't always been in this position, that one day in the week should be different. For many people, it will be a Sunday as the day they rest from work and remember the God who created and redeemed them. Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for our benefit and to enjoy our rest in Jesus. Now, how that is worked out is less important than that it is worked out. The Sabbath is there to help us. So I am not actually going to go into details about what that means or what it doesn't mean. I've got some pointers that I think might help us think through how it might work out for each of us individually. And the first thing I want to say is that Sabbath rest is not the same as a day off. If you are not in paid work, this is actually important. Because if you're a mum at home or are an unemployed or retired, you might miss the importance of Sabbath rest for you. A Sabbath rest is not the same as a day off from being a mum. Well, that's impossible. A Sabbath rest is not the same as every day if you are retired, just one long Sabbath. No. You see, for all of us, it is good for us to have a day which intentionally focuses on the rest we have in Christ. A day where being God's redeemed people has particular significance. You see, within family life, you can create a day that remembers Jesus, the rest that we have in Jesus, a day that is different. Within retirement, you can create a day that is different, that makes you remember the rest you have in Jesus. A day where we intentionally focus that it is only in Jesus that we have rest. So that is why meeting with God's people to hear God's word taught is something Christians around the world do. They do it on a Sunday because of the resurrection. But meeting together and sitting at Jesus' feet to hear his words and to find our rest in him should be our greatest priority. To meet with God's people and to sit at Jesus' feet as we hear his word. That should be our greatest priority for a day of rest. More than a lion, more than a day out, more than putting our feet up after a busy week or pursuing a leisure activity. Some other examples we might work out for a day of rest. You might think, well, what's that going to look like? So this is not a rule. Please don't hear me saying this is what you have to do. But wouldn't having church family members for lunch, for Sunday lunch, be a great way of remembering the rest we have in Jesus? That we have all been redeemed to be the people of God. That in Christ we are his people brought together. You see, too often I think we identify our day of rest as a nuclear family day. For me. For me to recharge my batteries. Rather than a God's people family day. But that is what we've been redeemed for. To be brought into God's presence with others. Or how about maybe encouraging no work on a Sunday, not because this is a hard and fast rule, but for example, teenagers doing homework by Saturday evening, so that they are reminded that something more than achieving great GCSEs or A-levels defines them. That Jesus is in whom their fulfillment, not in getting A-stars. How you do it may well vary, but there are lots of ways that we do need to think about this. Because I think Sunday has become a me day rather than a Jesus day. We need to remind ourselves that our identity is not in work, whether that be schoolwork or paid work, that ultimately we need to remind ourselves our dependence is in Christ and his work. Not me and my work. So I don't know how you'll work it out. But I do think we need to have a day that reminds us that actually we have rest in Christ. It's good. It reminds me that God is the one in charge, not me. A day that reminds me that I am dependent on Christ and I can't do it all myself. A day of rest will actually encourage us, in fact, I think, to trust him more. Because actually it can be quite painful to have a day of rest. Because we all naturally want to be in charge and get the jobs done. And do these things. And I'm in control. But to consciously say, no, I have to let that be. And have a day of rest means I have to trust him that he will do his work. Tim Keller, the American pastor, speaks of this as an act of liberation, to remind our hearts that our work does not define us, to not be slaves to our work. Writing this talk has made me reevaluate what I do on my day off. Do I take one for a start? How do I use that day to remember the true rest given to me in Jesus Christ? How do I remind myself of the rescue that I have been given? How do I remind myself that I am part of the redeemed people of God? I suggest that it's something that we all need to do. But that doesn't mean there is no need for physical rest. There is a need for physical rest. We have a need for rest. Obviously, we have a need for spiritual rest, but also physically. Jesus took his disciples away to rest from the busyness of the crowds. We see that a number of times in the Gospels. Rest is God's good creation for us all. Can I say it is not godly to work yourself into the ground so that you are so tired you become irritable, bad-tempered, and impatient? Those are not godly traits of a Christian. It is not godly to be so busy that you fail to care for yourself and make yourself ill. To be busy is not more spiritual. It is not more godly to work so hard that we end up failing to care for our families, our friends, our church family. Now, one friend of mine, he used to say to me, "Caroline, it's better to burn out through overwork than rust out through underwork." Well, I'm now not convinced. Because does it do honour to a gospel of grace that we all work so hard we kill ourselves? I actually think it looks more like we're trying to appease an angry God by our good works and how hard we work. I would now say I think it's better to wear out than burn out or rust out. Paul says in Colossians 1, "I labour, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." I think as Christians we do work hard. But we do this with the Lord's energy, not in our own strength, seeking to make the most of the time the Lord has given us. But how we rest can be ungodly too. So Tim Chester says this, it should be on the screen now. "With the Bible's God-centered ethic, we work for the glory of God and we rest for the glory of God. This is liberating. It gives value to both work and rest." That's a quote from his book, The Busy Christian's Guide to Business. We are to rest for God's glory. See, rest, physical rest, is not self-indulgence. Let me say that again. Physical rest is not self-indulgence. It is not me time. That very word, me, means the focus is me and my selfish desires. Rest is not to indulge myself selfishly. It is not laziness either. It is not godly to be lazy. The writer of Proverbs says to be a sluggard. Paul says we are to make the most of the time because the days are evil, and not spending time feeding sinful desires. That is not rest. We have responsibility to look after ourselves and be disciplined in getting the physical rest we need. Though, if you are a young mum with a newborn, that may be elusive for many months. But we do need to look after ourselves physically, with sleep, rest, food, and exercise if possible. There is nothing wrong with reading a good book, watching a great film, having a massage, or whatever may be your way of relaxing. But we should be doing it for the glory of God and not the glory of me. Finally, I want to come back to why rest seems so hard and so unobtainable. Why, when we know that rest is found in Christ, does it not quite seem as real as it should do? Why do we struggle with this? Well, in some senses, because this side of glory, rest now, is imperfect. In the Lord Jesus, we are now his people. And we do enjoy every spiritual blessing now. But we are not yet enjoying a perfect creation. True and perfect rest is still to come. But there is a great hope of eternal rest. In the very last book of the Bible, Revelation, the Apostle John is given an amazing vision where he sees into heaven, and the Lord Jesus tells him what is to come in the future. This is what he sees and hears in chapter 14. And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of its name. This calls for patience and endurance on the part of the people of God, who keep his commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." "Yes," says the Spirit, "they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." For those who reject Christ, there is eternal restlessness. There is no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast. There is no peace. Later in Revelation, we're told that they are banished from the presence of the Lord forever. There is no rest. But for those who are faithful to Jesus, there is rest. They will rest from their labour. There is a true and deep rest, which when you come to the end of Revelation, we see the glory of it. So Revelation chapter 22 says this: "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." Here we have the Lord God and the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, amongst his people. God's people are at rest, serving him before the throne. It is a wonderful, wonderful picture. On that day, we will see him face to face. We will be in his very presence. He will be our God. There will be no curse. And we will enjoy the eternal rest we were always intended for, the rest we were created for. To be God's people, in his presence, in his place. There will be no burdens and no weariness, no toil and no labour, no striving to achieve. Instead, we will know the joy of serving our Creator and our Redeemer. This is the completion of the rest we now know in Jesus. This is a glorious day when we will fully know the rest that we already have in Jesus. For now, we enjoy a day of rest as we look forward to that eternal day of rest, which will never end, when we will rejoice in the Lamb who redeemed us and made us the people of God. And we will be there and we will serve him in his very presence. He will dwell with us and we will be his people. I guess the big question is, are you going to enter that rest? Will you be there? There is no bigger question to answer. And the answer is only in Jesus. Will you come to Jesus weary and burdened, and find your rest in him and in him alone. Will you keep going and keep coming back to Christ? Keep coming to him and finding your rest in him, day in, day out, till you enter this glorious rest and you will see him face to face. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you that from the beginning to the end of your word, you make it clear that rest is the goal of what you've been achieving. That you have created us for rest. You've created us to be in relationship with you, to be your people in your place, being in your very presence. And Father, yet we have seen how your people, time and time again, have rejected your rest, rejected you, and have become restless. But thank you so much that in Jesus, all those promises in the Old Testament were fulfilled, and that in him is rest, that as we come to him, we find rest for our souls. That lifts the burden of the weariness that this life often shows us. Please would you help each and every one of us to see that rest is fulfilled in Christ. Please would you help us to come to Jesus. Please would you help us to make sure that we remember, intentionally remember, the rest that we have in Christ. However we do that, that we would intentionally remember that we are your people in your presence. And please would you keep each of us going so that we keep going and do not have a sinful, unbelieving heart, so that we also reach that glorious rest in the future, when we will stand before your throne and serve you before your throne, when we will be before you and the Lord Jesus, rejoicing and praising you for eternity, enjoying that eternal rest, that day that will never end. Please would you keep each and every one of us going till that day, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.